When we were coming back from the graduation exercises, she asked me if the wind was blowing again. In fact, it is, and this time it's blowing a gale. I can't wait to start the next volume of the DT series. Time to find out what happens in the riddling contest that Eddie blows Blaine's computerized mind with silly questions, i.e. riddles, is something I've known for several months now. But I don't think that's the major story I have to tell this time. I want to write about Susan, Roland's first love, and I want to set their cowboy romance in a fictional part of Midworld called Majus, i.e. Mexico. Time to saddle up and take another ride with the Wild Bunch. Meantime, the other kids are doing well, although Naomi had some kind of allergic reaction, maybe to shellfish. July 19th, 1995. Turtleback Lane, Lovell. As on my previous expeditions to Midworld, I feel like somebody who's just spent a month on a jet-propelled rocket sled, while stoned on hallucinatory happy gas. I thought this book would be tougher to get into, much, but in fact it was once more as easy as slipping into a pair of comfortable old shoes, or those Western-style short boots I got from Bally's in New York 3 or 4 years ago and cannot bear to give up. I've already got over 200 pages, and was delighted to find Roland and his friends investigating the remains of the Superflu, seeing evidence of both Randall Flagg and Mother Abigail. I think Flagg may turn out to be Walter, Roland's old nemesis. His real name is Walter O'Dim, and he was just a country boy to start with. It makes perfect sense in a way. I can see now how, to a greater or lesser degree, every story I've ever written is about this story. And you know, I don't have a problem with that. Writing this story is the one that always feels like coming home. Why does it always feel dangerous as well? Why should I be so convinced that if I'm ever found slumped over my desk, dead of a heart attack, or wiped out on my Harley, probably on Route 7, it'll be while working on one of these weird westerns? I guess because I know so many people are depending on me to finish the cycle. And I want to finish it. God, yes. No Canterbury Tales or Mystery of Edwin Drood in my portfolio, if I can help it, thank you very much. And yet I always feel as if some anti-creative force is looking around for me, and that I'm easier to see when I'm working on these stories. Well, enough with the heebie-jeebies. I'm off on my walk. September 2nd, 1995. I'm expecting the book to be done in another 5 weeks. This one has been more challenging, but still, the story comes to me in wonderful, rich details. Watched Kurosawa's The Seven Samurai last night and wonder if that might not be the right direction for Volume 6, The Werewolves of Endworld or some such. I probably ought to see if any of the little side-of-the-road video rental places around here have got The Magnificent Seven, which is the Americanized version of the Kurosawa film. Speaking of side-of-the-road, I almost had to dive into the ditch this afternoon to avoid a guy in a van swerving from side to side, pretty obviously drunk, on the last part of Route 7, before I turned back into the relatively sheltered environs of Turtleback Lane. I don't think I'll mention this to Tabby. She'd go nuclear. Anyway, I've had my one pedestrian scare, and I'm just glad it didn't happen on the Slab City Hill portion of the road. October 19th, 1995. Took me a little longer than I thought, but I finished Wizard and Glass tonight. August 19th, 1997. Tabby and I just said goodbye to Joe and his good wife. They're on their way back to New York. I was glad I could give them a copy of Wizard and Glass. The first bunch of finished books came today. What looks and smells better than a new book, especially one with your name on the title page? This is the world's best job I've got. Real people pay me real money to hang out in my imagination. Where, I should add, the only ones who feel completely real to me are Roland and his quartet. I think the constant readers are really going to like this one, and not just because it finishes the story of Blaine the Mono. I wonder if the Vermont grandma with the brain tumor is still alive. I suppose not. But if she was, I'd be happy to send her a copy.